Will you tell me something, Mr. Lumberjack? Is it one for forward and three for back? Is it two for stopper, four for go? Boy, ask a whistle punk, I don't know. Well, you work in the woods from morning to
well,
night.
Well, that's to you celebrate where Romy is this morning, up at the campus of NAU Lumberjacks for the Tree Council's Tree Climbing Contest. So, Romy, how many contestants have you got up there?
That's a good question. I
can't tell yet?
I can't tell you when John Eisenhower from Integrity Tree Service joins us next hour, along with Bonnie Irvine, the current president of the ACTC. We'll be able to get those kind of details.
Okay.
I'm looking around. There's at least 20.
Okay. Well, this is just one event that's going on across the great state of Arizona, the Tree Climbing Contest at NAU, right behind the 1899 restaurant, one of my favorite little hangouts. Also, as well, there's another little restaurant I found last time I was up there called the Tinderbox Kitchen. Man, that's awesome. What other events have you got going on around Arizona today?
Well, there's still a lot of farmers markets in the Phoenix area. You have Central Farmers Market on Central and Northern. I pass it. I never attend it because I drive by it while they're setting up. I think it's the Methodist Church or something like that. But it's in the church lawn, and it's over by the time we're done broadcasting. But there's at least 100 vendors there every Saturday, it seems like. I know this Saturday morning, Roxy and Tinley are with the Scott family at the Yavapai Farmers Market right there at Yavapai College. They went over there to get their produce for the week. There's, in the Tucson market, there's the Heirloom Farmers Market at Jesse Owens Parks. Those are on Fridays. Mark your calendars because obviously you missed it. But Friday from 9 to 1, it's just a full-on Heirloom Farmers Market, so everything's organic. Also in that market, if you're a cyclist, from 8:30 to 10, you start at the Arizona University flagpole, and you do a 5 to 15 mile nighttime bike ride, just depending on how intense you are. 5 miles is all you want to do. You can, if you want to do 15, you can. But that sounded like something pretty interesting. They've got the on University Boulevard in Tucson. Let me go to page 2 here. Family Fish Fiesta. This one was pretty funny. This is over in Yuma. If you're like us and you're trying to catch a fish in Arizona for your kids and you're kind of getting a little discouraged by shoreline fishing, it will be worth the drive over to Yuma for the West Wetlands. It's stocked with over 500 pounds of catfish. That's going on May 30th, so that's today, 7 to 10 a.m.
Very good. Well, I understand a fishing report for Barton Lake is pretty good right now, too. I got a buddy trying to get me up there for one afternoon of fishing. We may try and give that a try. Hey, we've got a call here. Let's see if we can get to Judy calling from Phoenix. Our lines are open at 1-888-767-4348. Miss Judy, good morning.
Good morning. It's almost a tree question if it's wood burning.
Okay.
I have a fireplace, regular fireplace. The house was built in 75.
Okay.
And I do not use it. I don't want to use it to burn wood anymore.
Okay.
And what I want to do is make it kind of like a fancy place to burn candles, but not candles. I want to get an ethanol burner and put in there and, you know, just something really simple. It's going to be like for ambiance for Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Okay.
And I'm told that I have to seal the flue. And I want to know what that entails and who can do that.
Well, what you actually have to do when you bring in gas to the combustion chamber of the fireplace, you actually need to block the flue open. Should you ever have a small little leak, you don't have that propane or that natural gas or whatever it is you're using for fuel building up inside the house.
Oh.
So you're actually blocking it open, not blocking it closed. And you have lots of options for inserts into a wood-burning fireplace. My grandfather was probably one of the wisest men I ever knew, and he always said the warmest thing about firewood was chopping it.
Yes, exactly.
You get warmer doing that than you do sitting in front of the fire. And you got like a lot of options, there are some really, really, you say you want the ambiance. Would you want the ambiance of an actual wood-burning fire? They make ceramic logs now, Judy, and asbestos fiber that you sprinkle down on the ground. And I will tell you, I converted my wood-burning fireplaces, both of them at my house, to these gas logs. And I have people walk in and sit there and have an entire dinner and say, Rosie, you haven't put another log on that fire. Yeah, I say, yeah, I haven't put another log on that fire in 20 years.
But now you're talking gas. I don't want to install any gas or anything. This
okay.
is total electric up here.
Okay. All right. So you don't have any access to gas. That's fine. Are you thinking like a candelabra-mounted thing that would have little ethanol containers in it that you'd light?
Well, you find them in the pool stores. They're little
okay,
patio
yeah.
things you can put on the table, a
okay.
small one. But I could go, you know, even if I put three of those in a row, you know how people put the candles in
sure.
the fireplace in the summer?
Sure. Well, Judy, I think all you're going to have to do is just ensure when you light that you have the flue open as if it were a real fire burning. You're not going to have to block it open because there isn't anything that can be a continuously leaking gas into the house, so you're fine that way. I think you just get to the pool store, find what you're looking for in the particular ethanol burning display that you want. Go ahead and set it up, open the flue, and you'll be in good shape. And I appreciate the call. Thanks a bunch. Well, one of the things we're going to be talking about today is the trend. It's what we have in the Arizona Republic article today in the home section of the newspaper. Tiny homes. What do you think of when I say tiny home? Living little. Well, what size is that? Is that would you feel cramped in like 1,200 square feet? Would that be a little bit too small for you? 900 square feet? 600 square feet? You know, there's a trend right now where people are actually living in homes in as little as 100 square feet. And I was extremely surprised when I started doing a little bit of research amongst the cities throughout Arizona, what the cities consider a house. And just take city of Scottsdale, for example. Those of you that are familiar with Scottsdale know that it's the home of some pretty big homes. But in Scottsdale, to be a home, it has to be a minimum of 120 square feet. That's right, 120. That's 10 by 12. That's the size of an average bedroom. And then every room you add to that 120 square feet has to have a minimum of 70 square feet. So you could have a two-room house in Scottsdale with a total of 190 square feet. Now, in that space, you must have a kitchen and you must have indoor plumbing. And we're seeing this trend from people who are just tired of funding their home through a mortgage for 30 years. People are actually taking products like Tough Shed and putting them in a backyard, running the plumbing out to them and the electricity for the kitchen, and boom, it's done. Now, you'll need permits for that, and there are certain communities where homeowners associations and codes, covenants, and restrictions are going to keep you from building something that small. But, of course, in Tucson, it took someone from Tucson to come up with this. Apparently, they've come up with the smallest home ever. I'm not kidding you. It's 2 foot by 2 foot by 6 foot tall.
What is it, a port-a-john?
That, Romy, it's even smaller than that. So, yeah, obviously, they don't sleep in it.
I was going to say, that's, you're on a thin line there calling it a home.
So, living small. We'll be talking a little bit about that later in the show.
And obviously, this person doesn't have any children. How small, Dad, do you think we could have taken our family of eight growing up?
Well, you know, when I started thinking about what would you have to do to shrink and live little like that, I started thinking about all the camping trips we took. And, you know, we lived for a week or two at a time in a tent that wasn't any more than about 60 or 80 square feet. But
mm-hmm.
you lived outside, you know.
You couldn't do that below the rim in the summer. I mean, you just
be hard. Be hard.
With babies,
sure.
Yeah.
think of it like this. I mean, some people go out and buy a 45-foot diesel pusher Class A motorhome. What? How wide are those? 8 or 9 feet? So you're talking 350, 400 square feet? So could you live in a 400-square-foot luxury diesel pusher motorhome that would set you back $500,000?
$500,000.
That's how much they cost, the nicer ones. I mean, they've got
$500,000
real marble, big screen TV, you know, sound around entertainment system, navigation systems.
400-square-foot home for $500,000 as long as it had like 10 acres surrounding it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, those Class A diesels can get up to like $2,000 a square foot. So the flip side of living little would be putting up a little shed yourself. There's actually in Fine Home Building magazine this month a story of a couple with a daughter that built a home on 5 acres, but the home's only 200 square feet, and all three of them live in there. The kitchen, the work areas, and the bedrooms are all included in that 200 square feet. So I don't know. It only set them back $32,000, so that's about what you'd have to do for a down payment, right? So that lets you buy more land, correct?
Makes sense to me.
Hey, more on that when we get back as well later in the show. We're going to be talking about secrets to your air conditioning system you're going to want to know about before the summer heat hits us. And Chris is on hold from Phoenix. We'll take his call right after this.